ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We proceed to the next verse today. Text number 22.
Ananyaschintayanto maam.
Ananyaschintayanto maam.
Ye jana paryupasate.
Ye jana paryupasate.
Tesham nityabhiyuktanam.
Tesham nityabhiyuktanam.
Yogakshemam vahamyaham.
But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Till the previous verse, Lord Sri Krishna has been speaking about the different kinds of worshippers. Ekatvena pratyaktvena bahudha avishato mukham. Now, from this verse onwards, he is speaking about his own devotees, Krishna's devotees.
Ananyaschintayanto maam.
Worshipping Sri Krishna as the sole object of their heart and having no other object and fully concentrating on him with exclusive devotion, as he explains here. That's called as Ananya Bhakti. So Krishna wants to confirm in this verse that there are so many people in this world who are busy making some material adjustments. But what does my devotee do? Or what happens to him? Sometimes people say, you should take advantage of the facilities that you have now. And you multiply the facilities. You become better in youth, so that in retirement you can be happy, isn't it? So demigod worshippers are busy performing yajna, going to heaven, and other materialists are busy making adjustments to make this life, a better place. But what does a devotee do? Krishna says, my devotee is not busy with such things. My devotee derives greatest joy in simply loving me and worshipping me. So one may ask a question, if devotee is busy simply worshipping Krishna, simply chanting and dancing, what will happen to his material life? Who will take care of him? Who will protect him? What is his security? So Krishna says here, that I take care of them, yoga and kshema. Yoga means what you have got, and kshema means what you have got. What you lack, what you got. Krishna says, I preserve what they have and I provide what they lack. I do this for my devotees. Personally, vahami aham. He says, I do this. So this protection, assurance given to Krishna is an encouragement to devotees. So those who are devotees of Krishna, they did not fear what will happen to me, that whole world is going ahead. I was seeing advertisement for those who have arrived. You saw this advertisement? Very, very close from here. Those who have arrived, and then they have put a big, big, I don't know how many BHK bungalows. I don't know. 4 BHK, 5 BHK, 10 BHK, we don't know. Huge, very huge bungalows. So what do they mean for those who have arrived? When you see that, you become insecure and fearful. It's put to frighten people. What they mean is, for those people who have become successful in material life, those who have a lot of money, big business, big cars, for those people these buildings are, you know, waiting. So one building, one flat might be like 30-40 lakhs or whatever. So, in material life, everyone is working hard to achieve that position of arriving there. Arriving at some very high position where the world will salute you and respect you. But here, Krishna is talking about his own devotees, that their only business is simply worshipping Krishna. Actually, it would be valuable here to discuss something about this Ananya Bhaktas. What are the characteristics? Throughout the scriptures, we find the nature of the Lord's devotees. Lord's devotees never feel insecurity or envy by looking at others, because they never consider themselves to be the material body. They know very well that I am spirit soul, servant of Krishna. Jeev Krishna Das, Yehi Vishwas, Koralidavar, Dukkanai. If one understands this fundamental principle, that Jeev Krishna Das, Jeevatma is a Krishna Das, he has no other upadhi, no other designation. This one understanding is good enough. Jeev Krishna Das, Yehi Vishwas, Koralidavar, Dukkanai. He has no kind of anxiety or fear. And such a devotee, even when other living entities cause him trouble, as they often do, in the material world, those are devotees of the Lord, they are often tortured by other devotees. You will see that all the great souls, Jesus was tortured, Haridas Thakur was tortured, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was Dharmaraj, he was troubled by Kauravas. Kunti Maharani, she was a great devotee of Krishna. Pandavas, everyone. So in this way, when a Lord's devotee is troubled by others, he does not retaliate. Rather, he feels, he is not my enemy, but it is due to my own past misdeeds that I am undergoing all these troubles. It is better for me to bear with all these pains rather than to protest against these sufferings. He tolerates like that. And also, not only a devotee just tolerates it, one step ahead, he sees it as Lord's mercy. It is Krishna's arrangement that these troubles are coming in my life so that I will come to my senses. I have to surrender to Krishna. In fact, he feels that I have done many, many more sins in the past for which I deserve a lot of punishment. But Lord is so kind that he gives me only a small token punishment in this form. So he is always grateful for that. He is always grateful to Lord, even when he is being punished. So he doesn't create enmity with anybody. He treats everyone like a friend. And he does not work very hard in this world to accumulate material things. He is not interested. Of course, for the Lord's sake, he will take any kind of anxiety. Like Rup Sanatan Goswamis, they never would work hard to build a big temple. They were satisfied to live in a small crouched position in a small cottage. But when wealthy merchants came and offered to make a big temple, then they volunteered. Then they made a huge temple for the Lord. They gave garments, ornaments, beautiful ornaments for the deities. But for themselves, they were not at all interested in any kinds of luxuries or comforts. So such a devotee never works hard for bodily pleasures, for material comforts. And because of that, he is always a free bird. See, who can be considered a free bird? A person whose mind and senses are controlled, he can be considered a free bird. If your mind and senses are under complete control, and devotion service is at the top, and it dictates the mind and senses, then such a person is the most fortunate person. He is the happiest man in the world. When Yadu Maharaj, when he went to the forest, he saw that Avadhut Brahman, he was a very young man, and his face was very bright like the sun, and he appeared to be very happy. He was hale and healthy also. So Yadu saw him and asked him, "Who are you? Oh great sage, you are wandering in the forest and you have no engagement in the forest. You appear to be just wandered off from society, and you appear to be so happy. You are not engaged in dharmartha kama moksha, working hard to earn your livelihood or accumulating something, and you appear to be having nothing, but you are so happy." So then Yadu, then the Avadhut Brahman tells him, about 24 gurus, how he is so happy because he had gained such an understanding about God in his life that his mind and senses were completely sold out to the Supreme Lord. All the time he was absorbed in the Lord. So by that one can be completely free. So this is the condition of a devotee. And he does not cause harm to anyone. In fact, such a pure devotee of the Lord, nobody can ever even dream that he can cause any harm to anybody. He is always behaving exactly like the Supreme Lord. Like Lord will not cause harm to anybody. He always is always favorably disposed towards living entities in bringing them back to Godhead. Similarly, a pure devotee also, he cannot cause any harm to anybody. He always thinks of their well-being. And although he doesn't cause any harm to anybody, if somebody also causes him harm, he tolerates it, as we said earlier. Like that. Whereas the material world, you will see, everyone is thinking, how can I enjoy? How can I get some benefit? Everyone is selfish. The me and my concept are very strong in this world. My body, my family, my caste, my descendants, my own house, my kingdom, my things. So these are very deep rooted in our heart. And always one is thinking of such pleasures. And because of that one gets anxiety. That person is my enemy. He may cause me trouble. So when he thinks of the enemy, then the fear is there. Whereas the pure devotee, he never has any fear. Because he doesn't possess anything at all. Krishna says, Aniketa Staramatir Bhaktimane Priyonara. He doesn't own any house. He's saying, sometimes he may go to a huge palace where he will be put a big garland and they will wash his feet, they will put sandalwood pulp, and they will offer him varieties of foodstuffs to eat. So he may accept all of them when the respect is given. But he doesn't take it very seriously. Another time, what is because of staying in a big bungalow, he may be sitting in a forest under a tree. In the middle of the forest. Just he may be lying on a stone bed. Practically nothing. Sometimes, according to Bhagavatam, 7th canto it says, he may be probably lying on ashes sometimes. Or on sand. Sometimes people give him a beautiful garment. They may give him silken garments, they put a shawl. He accepts it. Another time he may be wearing tattered clothes. Whatever is available, he accepts like that. Sometimes he is given delicious preparations to eat. All kinds of sweets and everything. Another time, when Srila Prabhupada was in the West, he used to be supplied with varieties of nice preparations devotees would prepare. But sometimes when he was traveling and preaching, all day, one day he never ate anything. Practically morning to evening. And at night, almost 9 o'clock or so, when he returned from preaching, that day he had many programs that day. And the devotees were all completely tired. And then they had prepared puri. So puris and sabji they brought to Prabhupada. And it was hot puris. So Prabhupada had it and said, this is the life of a preacher, he was telling. All day just work hard for Krishna and have prasad and go to rest. And in this way, Prabhupada is having simple puri and sabji. And other times he may have varieties of preparation, there will be a dozen items on the plate. But another time nothing. Whatever Krishna supplies, devotee accepts like that. So he accepts whatever comes of its own accord. He does not endeavor for happiness. Whatever comes of its own accord, he accepts that. In this way, such a devotee, he suddenly comes across people who will glorify him, who will humiliate him. He comes across situations where he has to be in cutting cold of the winter under a tree with no clothes. Or he may be in the scorching heat of the summer. So in this way, a devotee simply travels distributing the message of Krishna. And he lives a very happy life, a completely carefree life. If you read the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it explains all the qualities of such a pure devotee. Very amazingly. Such a devotee, he is absorbed in Krishna and the mind. So Krishna is his main object of focus in his heart. What keeps him so happy? Because he is so absorbed in remembrance of Lord, his lotus feet, his activities, and his nature, and his love for every living entity. So these things dominate his heart, greatly dominate his heart. And because of that, even the insults and all cannot even pass through his ears. Somebody insults him, it doesn't have any effect, it just goes back. Somebody glorifies him, no effect. It doesn't enter his ears. There is no reason for him to become proud when somebody glorifies him. There is no reason for him to become antagonistic when somebody criticizes him. Because he just cannot hear. The remembrance of Lord is so dominant in his heart. Even to those who do bad to him, he wants to do good to them. That is his nature. That is why there is a tatikshava, karunika, surdas sarvadehina, ajat chatravashanta sadhava sadhubhushana. These qualities are explained by Lord Kapila in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the nature of a devotee. Such a devotee is very rare. For one to be situated in this platform is very rare. Actually everyone should aspire for it, to become such a devotee, a carefree devotee. This is the meaning of real carefree life. Prabhupada was telling, the Vedas teach us how to be really happy in life. Prabhupada said in India people know what are the best types of foods to prepare. Nayastakaprasar. And they know how to keep the body healthy by not indulging in all kinds of nasty activities. So keeping the body healthy, keeping the mind healthy, keeping the soul healthy. These are actually given in the Vedas. But if you're a devotee, he has achieved a far higher state than just keeping ordinary health. Because of his strong remembrance of Krishna, all the other things of the material world don't affect him. See, here Prabhupada writes in the purport here, one who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services. And then all Navida Bhakti Prabhupada is writing everything. So one who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness, this is the standard of a pure devotee. That means a pure devotee cannot one moment think of living. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishaitam. He says one moment appears like 12 years or more. Prabhupada is saying if somebody is waiting for someone to come, like if a lover is waiting for the beloved to come. So somebody is coming and battering the door like that. Probably he has come or she has come. They may look at the door because you're waiting for someone. And then if I go and see that, nobody is there. Go and see the door, nobody is standing there. You all have this experience. If you are very greatly anticipating for someone, any noise that comes, it will appear that the person has come. Or any sight, somebody is supposed to come in a blue shirt or a blue dress. And you see at a distance, anything that is blue will appear to be them. Isn't it? Like that, you will see that, just like a materialist who is infatuated for money. Wherever he looks around, money, 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 money for him. Everything. He calculates in terms of money only. He sees a building, immediately says, this must be so many lakhs. Isn't it? He sees a car, he sees a pen, he sees a marble floor, immediately he will make a guess, this must be this much. He cannot talk anything other than money. Everything he speaks in terms of money only. Everything. That is the nature of a materialist who is money-minded. Similarly, a lusty man, for him, everything looks like woman, wherever he turns around. Even if he sees a curtain, he will think it's a sari. That is like a lusty man. Anything. Prabhupada says, you put a stick and you put a colored cloth, he'll become infatuated. He's a lusty man. He goes crazy by looking at anything connected to woman. For him, he cannot tolerate any sound. Even if a child is running, wearing an ankle bell, immediately he'll become infatuated, thinking some woman is coming. Because he's thinking of woman always in the mind, like that. Similarly, a Krishna devotee thinks of Krishna at all times, constantly, in his mind. Actually, in the Brahma Samhita, as Brahmaji explains, varieties of descriptions. These are actually revelations of a pure devotee Brahma.
Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Laksha Vritesha Surabhi Rabipala Yantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
So this prayer Brahmaji is offering, and he goes on describing many things. Adola Chandra Kalasadvanamali Vamshi. And then he is talking about his eyes, Aravinda Dalaya Taksham. So Brahmaji in great trance is singing this poetry, Brahma Samhita. Remembering the Lord. In the same way, in the heart of a devotee, the waves of thoughts of Krishna are constantly flowing. Actually, because it is very difficult for us to comprehend it, Rupa Goswami has given this example of how a boy will think of a girl if he has fallen in love. Constantly the waves of thought of that girl come and attack his mind. Like he thinks how she laughs, how she speaks, how she becomes angry, or how she conducts herself, how she behaves. Everything comes and haunts us. Haunting is the right word, I think. He feels haunted by her thoughts. Almost mad. Sometimes you see him laughing to himself. You say, he's a crazy fool. Isn't it? So in material world, it is certainly craziness. If a boy is imagining himself in a being with his partner and imagining that I am speaking this, she is saying that, I am telling this, it's real craziness. It's a perverted reflection of the devotee's behaving with Krishna. So devotees also behave like that. But devotees, whom are they thinking about? Krishna. Krishna is the central object of thought. That's why he is saying they cannot spend one moment without Krishna. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna. So this restlessness is actually called as laulyam. Like a man asked his guru that when can I get God? Why is it so difficult to reach God? At once his guru pulled him and dunked him in water. And the soul was suffocating, was trying to push. And was too much exerting, then his guru left him. As he was breathing. Then he asked him, what are you doing? And guru said, how much did you want air when you were underwater? He said, my Lord, that one puff of air, I was dying for it, he said. He said, if you have the same consciousness for God, you will get him. If you want him so much. But we don't want him so much. What is bigger of that much? That is a very far-fetched idea. Even to have little eagerness to get him. Even while calling his name, we forget what are we doing. What to speak of wanting the Lord so much. But a pure devotee wants him so desperately. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Gambira, he wanted the Lord like that. In fact, they would bolt the door. There would be Sarva Damodar, Ramananda Rai by the side of Mahaprabhu to always sing for him. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sakshat Sri Krishna, who comes in the taking the mood of Srimati Radharani. And because Radharani is always absorbed in Mahabhav, great feelings of separation, which cannot be imitated by anybody. The love we have is not even a trace of that. Mahabhav is a very great love that only Srimati Radharani possesses. Nobody can equal her in that kind of feelings of separation. And Mahaprabhu experienced those feelings of separation. That's why when he was in Gambira, he wanted to see the Lord. In the middle of the night, he will feel like going and meeting him. He will hear the sound of his flute. So just like the gopis in Vrindavan, when Krishna would play on his flute, wherever they were, whatever activity they were doing, they could hear that sound. It is said by advanced devotees, they can hear the Lord's flute, sound of his flute. So when the gopis would hear, they would leave everything aside and run to meet the Lord. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to meet the Lord. In the middle of the night, all the devotees were keeping awake to protect him. They would go to sleep. And Lord would wake up and the door would automatically open, the winds would blow, and the Lord would get out of the house and calling Krishna's names, he would go out of the house singing Krishna's name. Sometimes he would go to the seashore searching for him. Sometimes he would even jump into the waters of the ocean. It has happened many times. In fact, once when he jumped into the waters of Jagannath Puri, waters, ocean, one fisherman, he was searching for fish and Lord entered into that net. So he captured very heavy, he thought, I got lot of fish today. He got that net and when he brought it out, it wasn't fish, it was some other big object. He didn't know what it was in darkness. But as soon as he touched it, he started chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. He started loudly chanting like this. And Nityananda Prabhu and other associates, they all were searching for Mahaprabhu, where did he go? And at last, searching here and there, asking many, many people, at last they came to this fisherman. And they asked him, did you see any sannyasi like this? He said, I didn't see anybody, but I saw only a booth. Yeah, ghost. A ghost came into my net, and I don't know, I cannot even see it. But the moment I touched my net, finished. Now I am all the time crying, Hari, Hari. Then they said, now we understand who is that ghost. Then they saw in the net, who was there? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So, sometimes Mahaprabhu would go and dunk himself in waters like that. Sometimes he would be crying for Krishna, searching like that. So this is a revelation of pure love for Krishna. The most pristine, pure love. This is actually our goal. Our ultimate desire in our life is to achieve Krishna prema. And that is actually the highest achievement that we keep in the altar of our hearts to achieve. Just like the gopis had love for Krishna. And such a love is there in the heart of everyone. It has to be unfolded. So the pure devotee is unable to live for one moment without Krishna consciousness. And he cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotion service by hearing, chanting, remembering and all that. His only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, below purposes. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. So Prabhupada is saying, while the materialists are planning how to go to heaven and get some enjoyments, a devotee is here simply worshipping the Lord. The whole world may criticize him that he is simply chanting God's name, useless and this and that, so many things. A devotee doesn't care for anybody. He has a very firm determination. Actually, Prabhupada says, how does he get that firm determination? By controlling his mind and senses. By controlling his mind and senses and fixing it up in devotion service, one gets determination. One gets a firm determination in bhakti. And for about such a devotee, God is explaining here. So then one can expect. Then Lord says, I take personal care of him. Just like a father is always concerned about his children. Even while he is in his office, he thinks about his son, he thinks about the daughter, he thinks about their welfare. When he comes home, he brings some things, isn't it? When he comes to the market, he brings some eatables, or he brings some dress, so that he can make the children happy. Similarly, Krishna also is like a father who is always thinking of what are the desires of his devotee. But then he finds that his devotee's desire is, devotee's heart is devoid of any desire. There are no desires there. But the only desire that a devotee possesses is to love and serve Krishna. That's why Krishna fulfills that desire. No. Krishna fulfills that desire to make temples, to preach and bring devotees to his feet. Devotees' desires are all pure spiritual desires. In fact, such a devotee's day-to-day activities and such a devotee's needs, everything is taken care of by the Lord. Lord says, Vahami Aham, means I personally provide everything for my devotee. You see, Sudama Vipra also, he had nothing. What he was and what he became, see the difference. He didn't even ask anything from Krishna when he went personally. He didn't ask for a single penny. But you find how he was and how he became. What kind of affluence and facilities Lord gave him. Of course, this is one meaning of how Lord may provide all the necessary facilities. Even if you give something very small to the Lord, Lord will accept it very graciously and he will give abundant in return. He can give, he has the ability to give. Like that fruit vendor. Fruit vendor, she was selling fruits place to place, and in a small baby Krishna, he brought some rice which fell off from his hands. Very little rice was left. But she, by seeing the child, she felt so much love for him that she didn't want anything from the child. She just wanted to give him more and more. She just took all the fruits and started giving him, loading all his hands with fruits. When Krishna sees that a devotee wants to give him and does not demand anything, then he feels a very great joy. So what did Krishna give her in return? He gave a million times more. Pearls and jewels and gold and silver and what not. Everything. In this way, one who gives Krishna never suffers. One experiences unlimited enjoyment. And Krishna gives up in return. This is one meaning of Vahamyaham, that Krishna protects his devotee by offering them. Like you see, Srila Prabhupada says about Yasyaham Anagrihanami Harishyeta Dhanamshanai. Prabhupada says that Krishna stripped away everything from me. When Prabhupada wanted to take sannyas in his mind, he was thinking. At the same time, he saw that his business collapsed. One astrologer had told Prabhupada that you will become one of the richest men in India, or you will become one of the most famous sadhus in the whole world. Either of the two. Both are like Maharajas, isn't it? Either you become that Maharaj or this Maharaj. So Prabhupada says later that Krishna wanted him to completely renounce everything, travel around the world and preach. And Prabhupada had nothing at that time. But later, Prabhupada got hundreds of crores of rupees to build big temples for Krishna, so many temples all around the world. And he used everything in Krishna's service, exactly like Sudama. Sudama was poverty-stricken at one time. When he got all the wealth, what did he do? He used it in Krishna's service. Similarly, Prabhupada also. When he went to the West, he had practically nothing. When he got all the wealth, he used it all in Krishna's service. In this way, Lord confidently says that I supply everything to my devotee, because Lakshmi is a dasi. Lakshmi sahasra shatasambrahma sevyamanam. Goddess of fortune is always serving at the feet of the Lord. Anytime, ready to offer him service. Anytime the Lord says, she is ready to offer service. So anytime Lord can tell Lakshmi ji that now you go in the life of the devotee and you offer him unlimited benediction. And Lakshmi ji will do that. In fact, Goddess of fortune served Sudama also. And Sudama went to Dwaraka. She was also fanning. She was fanning Sudama also. On one side Krishna, on the other side Rukmini. They both were fanning and entering service to the Lord's devotee like that. In this way, Lord may practically supply the goods that are needed by a devotee. In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times, there was a great devotee called Shivas. The Shivas Angan is actually equivalent to Rasasthali, or the same place where Krishna and the gopis are dancing in Vrindavan. It's considered to be in par with that. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna dances with the gopis. Similarly, in Shiva Sangha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dances with his associates, namely Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, and all other associates. Every day he used to dance. And the Shivas had a family. He had a wife. He had a proper family. He was a grihastha. But Lord Chaitanya saw that he is not going for any job, he is not doing anything for his livelihood, how is he surviving? See, in the Vedic times, there were brahmanas who would just live simply by doing yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana, parigraha. They would do yajna every day morning, that is the dharma. And they would teach people how to do yajna. And they would teach the Vedic mantras. And they would study the shastras, and they would go place to place, and they would preach the same message, and whatever money comes, whatever charity comes, they will live on that. That was the life. Achyakshana says, anapeksha, shucharudaksha, udasino gatavidyatah. Anapeksha means they would not expect that, you know, I am going to do Bhagavad Sapta, they have to give me 5 lakhs. No. They will, anapeksha means they would just to give the knowledge of God without demanding anything. But then the people who are very pleased with them, they would give grains, fruits, everything. The brahmanas just lived like that. Even those who were family people, husband, wife, children, they were just yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dan, parigraha. So Shivas also was a devotee, and he would just be chanting, dancing, preaching about Krishna, and people gave charity, and family was running peacefully. There was no problem. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the other associates, how is the Srivas running his family? I see him all the time singing and chanting and dancing. Isn't it people ask you nowadays? Isn't it people ask you, you people are just chanting Hare Krishna? Chanting Hare Krishna will help you to survive. So Mahaprabhu called him and asked him, you are just chanting Hare Krishna, do you think this will help you? I mean, you think you will be able to survive? How are you surviving? What is your source of sustenance? Then he didn't say anything, he just clapped his hands three times. Okay, three times he clapped his hands. Then Mahaprabhu couldn't understand, what does he mean? Then he asked him explanation. He said, my dear Lord, in my life I have never faced any kind of poverty at any time. If at any time I found that there is no food at home and there is no wealth to maintain my family, I just clap my hands three times. And within those three times of clapping, immediately all the things I need are supplied by the Lord. Immediately. There had never been a time when there was any scarcity at home. And Mahaprabhu heard it. He was so pleased. He said, Srivas, even if Goddess of Fortune Lakshmiji, even if she goes from house to house to beg out of poverty, still you will never have poverty in your house, he said. Actually, Lakshmiji is never going to beg from anybody. She is actually supplying everyone all kinds of wealth. But sometimes in Shastra, this exaggeration is used. Exaggeration. What do you call this? Huh? Atishayokti. Yeah. Atishayokti. In order to explain the importance of a concept. So here the Lord is explaining that one who depends on Him completely and absorbs His life in Him, he will never suffer. There is no suffering. Sometimes people ask us, even in your ISKCON society, you make so many arrangements for raising funds and making schemes for, you know, accumulating funds and going out, and we are working so hard. Actually, if a devotee has to just survive, he doesn't have to work hard. You go to Vrindavan and see, I was saying in Vrindavan, there are poverty-stricken Vrajavasis living in families. Our devotees, they went to their houses and they begged, and they are giving rotis to you. You see their house, they are living like a chal. Like a very, very poverty-stricken place, but they have no problem of giving charity in Vrindavan. People are living in Vrindavan, you just chant Radhe, 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 they are chanting happily. And people go and beg alms, and they get abundant prasad. Just take prasad, go circumambulate Govardhan Hill, take a dip in Radhakund. And in this way, there are many people spending life. You don't need a single penny. Without touching money, you can spend life as a Krishna devotee. You don't have to store any money here. Simply one can be, there are devotees like that. There are many, many people. But we are not Bhajanandis. We are Goshanandis. So Goshanandi is a preacher. So what should a preacher do? Preacher should inspire the masses to release all the kajana that they have stored, which is actually Lord's property. Everyone in this world, what are they doing? They are picking whatever things they can pick up. Just like Prabhupada says, it's Americans. Americans are coming to Gulf and they want to loot the oil. That's why they are fighting with Iraq. And Prabhupada is saying, Americans say sometimes, everything is God's property. Even this oil is also God's property. Why can't we take the oil from your country? And Prabhupada is giving them a challenging question. If you say everything is God's property, even America is God's property, why don't you take some Iraqians, Iranians and keep them in America? Why don't they come and live in America? Why don't you give them good facilities to live in America? Isn't it? So if everything is our property, then you should share America also. Why only share only Gulf? Isn't it? So America is having 50% of the world currency, then why don't you share it with all the countries? If everything is God's property, isn't it? That they won't agree. No, no, no. Our formula applies only in the first case. Only when Gulf is having all, that is God's property. In this way, the devotee is taken care of. There is no scarcity for devotee. So, Goshyanandis are preachers. So, what should they do? In Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, there is a beautiful example. It says in the rainy season, when the clouds are dense and dark in the sky, you find the lightning, isn't it? One lightning. And then immediately all the clouds start pouring down, heavy volumes of water. In the same way, the Bhagavatam is explained, inspired by a great devotee of the Lord, wealthy merchants, they release all their money. Because the great devotees of the Lord preach very heavily, very strongly about the glories of Krishna. The Prabhupada met one very wealthy glass merchant. He was having a glass industry. He was a multimillionaire. So Prabhupada met him and asked him, what is your profession? And he said, I am doing this glass business. And Prabhupada said, how do you make glass? Oh, glass I get from silicon. Where do you get silicon from? Silicon you get from the silicon ore from the ground. Prabhupada said, just see, you are taking everything from God and you are making glass from that and you are making money and you are enjoying money. You are a big thief. Prabhupada directly told him in the face. Stand down. Then he said, no, Swamiji, I give little bit for some charitable purposes. So you are a smaller thief. So Prabhupada used to be very bold. He would say, everything you are taking from God, but you are not giving anything to Him. So bold preachers worldwide, like Prabhupada, they have preached and they inspired the masses to release the amount, release the money and Lakshmi that they are storing with them. Just like Hanuman went and released Mother Sita, like that. If you remember, I told long back, one boy had written to me asking this question. Prabhuji, why do you need the help of Maya? That means, why do you need the help of our money? We people are working in software industries and you are earning a lot of money in America. And you say that you are preaching and you are asking for our money. Why do you need our money? Our money is Maya. And you call these people as karmis, then why do you want their money? Then I wrote to him, we are doing Hanuman's job. Hanuman's job is to release Mother Sita from Ravana and give it back to Ram. Similarly, all the people are thinking that we will work hard and earn money and enjoy and enjoy and enjoy life. They are storing, it's Ravana mentality. The one is doing that without God. So all that money should be taken from them and given to Krishna service. Isn't it? Is it clear or is it not clear? Anybody who is harboring more and more money and wealth and property, accumulating it, it's actually a tiny Ravana mentality. We cannot become like that Ravana. But we are tiny Ravanas. So, I was telling him, we are doing a favor by taking donation from you. How are you doing a favor? Because by releasing the money earned by false means, by nefarious ways, one accumulates more and more sins. But by giving all that one is accumulating back to Krishna, one is released from all sins. That is actually called as yajna. One should understand that. It's a thankless task. I told him, we can go to Vrindavan, we can be nicely chanting happily, lifelong we will spend there. We have Govardhan Parikrama we do and chant in the banks of Yamuna. Nice, ecstatic life. But Prabhupada wanted everyone to become a preacher. Ours is a Goshtyanandi movement. Goshtyanandi means we should preach. And Prabhupada said, everyone should participate in Krishna service. One should give fruit, one should give flower, one should give wealth, one should give one's bodily energies, one should give mental energies, one should give one's intellect. All resources, whatever you have, you should give it in Krishna's service, for His service. So that is why Prabhupada formed this ISKCON organization as a society. When you form an organization, then you have vehicles, you have management, you have big projects, everything comes up. So much money is involved in that. Why Prabhupada took this trouble? Because he wanted to see that this is not only meant for sadhus. It's meant for everyone. Because every living entity has the birthright to worship Krishna and serve Krishna. And this opportunity should be given to them. And every living entity can come to the stage of ananya, chintayantoma. So we begin from here by doing some kind of work for Krishna. So even our movement, Hare Krishna movement, consists of three types of devotees. Those who are spontaneously attracted to Krishna, and due to which they are absorbed in Krishna's service all the time. Those are the spontaneous devotees. Secondly, we have those who cannot think of Krishna always, so they follow the regulative principles. Vaidhi Bhakti, they do Vaidhi Bhakti, chanting 15 rounds and following the regulative principles. And we have a third category also, those who cannot even chant 16 rounds, cannot follow the regulative principles also, it's difficult for them. All the four principles they can't follow, but they want to be Krishna's devotees. So, third category are those who work for Krishna. some kind of work. Every organization requires capital, they require land, they require labor, all these things are required. So those who work for Krishna by offering these things, you offer money, or you offer land, or you offer labor, or you yourself do some service, like that. So in this way, all these three types of devotees, everyone ultimately will come to this point of Ananya Bhakta, Ananya Chintayantoma. In this way, one can come into the innermost circle of Krishna, Krishna's intimate devotees, confidential devotees. One can become a confidential servant of Krishna. Actually, the spiritual master and all the acharyas, they are said to be confidential servants of Krishna, because they have achieved the platform where they have achieved Ananya Bhakti. Ananya means nothing else. Krishna is the only business, nothing else. Like that. So in such a state, then it is, Lord feels that it is his obligation and duty to go and give protection to the devotee, and go and care for the devotee. Attentive, is very attentive to serve the devotee. When Raghunath Das was chanting, sitting out in the outside place, he was just chanting Mahamantra, absorbed. Then Lord Krishna saw that there are so many ferocious animals coming and going. So Krishna came and stood there with a stick in hand. So he was ready to chase the tigers away. Standing there, so he was serving his devotee. Srimati Radharani herself came there and saw that he is sitting under the hot sun and his body is sweating. So she came and took the end of her sari and started covering his head and giving protection to him. So in this way, the Lord and his eternal consort Srimati Radharani, they are always remembering devotees. Always eager to be with such a devotee who is an Ananya Bhakta. One who doesn't have anything else in life. So if you think of the Lord always, then Lord also thinks of you always. Sadhu bhagadeyam mahyam, sadhu naam hrayan paham. Madanyatena jananti, naham tebhyo managapi. He says, my devotees reside in my heart and I reside in their hearts. And my devotees do not know anything but me. And I do not know anything but my devotees. So actually when I used to hear these kind of things before, I used to always wonder, probably this is meant for only some selected souls in this world, some Mahabhagavat Vaishnavas, not for everyone. But after coming to ISKCON and reading Prabhupada's books, I realized that this is for everyone. This is for a man, this is for a woman, this is for a young man, young girl, old man, whoever it is. It's meant for every living being. We can become that type of devotee. Who can keep Krishna in the heart, and Krishna will keep us in his heart. And he will supply as he promises, Vahamyaham, I will supply. When Madhendra Puri was sitting in Govindakund alone, he didn't have any other business other than chanting Hare Krishna. He was chanting all the time, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Completely absorbed in chanting. And because he didn't eat all day, with Gopal, Krishna came in the form of a small covered boy. He came and offered a pot of milk. And when Madhavendra asked him, who is he? He said, all these ladies who come here to fetch water, they saw that you are not having anything. You didn't eat anything since morning. Please kindly have this. So he said, I'll come and take back this vessel later. But then he never came back after that. And he gave Madhavendra Puri the deep realization that it is, that this boy who came was non-different from Krishna himself. So in this way, Krishna keeps his promise to his devotees by supplying them. So these are all gross things that you're talking about. That is coming and offering milk, or is coming and offering protection for the body, and all that. Even in another case, Prabhupada talks about, in two places Prabhupada uses two different names. One place he says Ananda Acharya, another place he says Arjuna Acharya. The story comes, Prabhupada explains in one lecture on the same verse. He's saying this Arjuna Acharya, he was writing purport to Bhagavad Gita and he saw this verse and he was also a pure Brahman. He would simply live on alms. He would go, water people would give him alms, he would survive on that. And always singing the glories of the Lord. He was a great devotee. So one day when he was writing purport to this verse, he saw this word Vaham Yaham. He said, Lord says Aham. How is it that Lord himself comes to preserve what a devotee lacks? So he had a little doubt. So he striked off his Vahamyaham land. And then he didn't write purport to that. So he went outside. And in the meantime, Lord Krishna and Balaram, as small children, they came and battered the door. And when wife of Arjunacharya opened the door, they both were carrying, like the balance in those days they used to carry, like a stick, in between something would be hanging. So they were carrying like this on their shoulder, it was very heavy. They brought lots of loads of things, grocery items and oil and everything, ghee and everything. She was wondering, how did you bring it, where did you bring it from? They said, your husband has sent us for you. And all these things. In fact, because we haven't been supplying this for a long time, he became angry with us. Just see our back. He has beaten us so badly. And she saw scratch marks, blood scratch marks on the back. She felt so sorry. She said, please sit for a while, I will apply some medicine. And also I will use all this grocery, I will cook nice prasad and offer you. So you keep waiting here. She went into the kitchen. And within a short time, the two children disappeared from them. Then Arjunacharya returned back. And then she was telling, Prabhupada saying, Acharya, you are very cruel towards those small boys, some Gurukul boys whom you sent. Why you beat them so severely? And he asked, which Gurukul boys? Whom are you talking about? What did they bring? He didn't know anything. And she showed all the things kept. Then this Acharya, in his contemplation, he could understand that these two boys, they were non-different from Krishna and Balaram. They themselves came and supplied all these things. And on their back, there was a scratch. What is the scratch? Because he had striked off the sentence of Krishna. Vahamyam Krishna says, because he had striked off, the same scratch came on his body. That's why the book is like a deity. It's non-different from Krishna. So we should never cut off the sentences in a spiritual book. So in this way, Lord proved to him that he supplies what the devotee lacks and he preserves what they have. So Lord may preserve the gross body of a devotee or gross requirements of a devotee, but Lord most importantly protects the bhakti that a devotee performs. It's never destroyed. Lord always remembers the bhakti done by a devotee. Like Jatayu, even before he fought with Ravan, he knew very well that he won't win. Ravan is extremely powerful. But with his big wings, he started flapping and hitting Ravan. He thought, let me do my best and leave the rest to Ram. This should be our policy in everything we do. I will do my best and leave the rest to God. So he did his best, he tried his best, but Ravan took a sword and cut off his wings. And Jatayu fell down and was laying down dead on the ground. Of course he was about to die. So later on you can see Lord Ram accepted the role of his own father and performed the kriya and everything for him. You can see that. In this way, even if the Lord doesn't protect the body, Lord accepts the devotee's bhakti. And such a devotee goes back home back to Godhead, like Jatayu. Prahlad Maharaj's body Lord protected, personally protected. When he was hurled down from a mountain, Lord came and fetched him from the bottom. And when he was fed with poison, when Prahlad saw the poison, he saw Narayan lying in Anansya's inside the poison. And he drank it and nothing happened. Lord absorbed all the poison. In this way, Lord may protect the body, or sometimes the Lord may protect the devotee's bhakti. But Lord assures that my devotee should not fear anything. My devotee simply should execute devotion service, depending on me. And I am the ultimate shelter and protection for my devotee. A devotee should depend on it. This doesn't mean that a devotee does not do work. He doesn't do anything. He is just lazy. He is just lying down and saying, God is going to come and supply now. I will just sleep. Actually, there are different kinds of devotees, different levels of devotees. And the highest platform devotees are those who don't even ask anything to anybody. They don't even go and ask alms. They are called as Ajigar Vritti Brahma Avadutas. They are such exalted people that they know that just like as soon as a child is born, immediately the mother's breast becomes capable of supplying milk. Isn't it? At once. The woman may not be able to produce milk for a long time. But as soon as a child is born, immediately she is able to give milk. Isn't it? Just like a cow also. As soon as a cow produces a calf, immediately she can give milk. Like that. Similarly, devotee thinks, because the child is created, the milk is also created for the child. Similarly, when the Lord sent me to this world, certainly He will send what I need to eat every day. So why should I go and beg alms? He doesn't even beg alms. This is called Ajgarvati. Ajgarvati means a serpent, you know, with his open mouth. He's just lying in the forest. And whatever goes of its own according to the mouth, he accepts it like that. This is a very high platform. Madhendrapuri was in that platform. He never even asked anyone anything. Every day he will just chant and people passing by will come and give him something to eat. And he will take that and continue chanting like that. So, that is one high class of Vaishnava, Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. They will never protest any time. But there are also Vaishnavas who come down to the level of Madhyam Adhikaris for the purpose of preaching. So, Madhyam Adhikaris are preachers. Like Avadhuta Brahman, they may wear torn clothes. They may be not begging anything. They may not protest at all. They may look like a crazy person. Avadhuta, we call them. But a Madhyam Adhikari cannot be like that. A Goshtyanandi or a Madhyam Adhikari should behave like, you know, you should dress properly. Says one should dress properly. A devotee who is first dress and then address. Prabhupada says you should dress properly. You should wear proper tilak, proper kantimala, properly shaved. Similarly, devotees should be presentable. Similarly, we don't treat everyone as a Mahatma or a pure devotee. We understand that people have weaknesses, problems. We also have weakness. We have to work on our own weakness and help others to get rid of their weaknesses and elevate them in the Krishna consciousness. So he preaches. So he accumulates money for the service of Krishna from people and uses it in Krishna's service like that. And Krishna helps the devotee also. Wherever a devotee is living, whether a devotee is living in city or is living in forest or living in a temple, wherever he is, these are the types of consciousnesses that a devotee should have in his mind. Like we were talking about this devotee. A devotee should aspire for this kind of consciousness without becoming touched by material energy. Just like Prabhupada says, the air, when the air is flowing, sometimes the air may pass through waterfalls, which is very beautiful flowing down. The air may pass through that and it may carry some chill water, spray or whatever. Sometimes it passes through some dead body or some gutter or something, bad smell. But the air remains aloof from both. Similarly, Prabhupada says, sometimes a devotee may get an opportunity to sit in the middle of the forest, something like Lonavala. Actually, Lonavala is not so beautiful because Bombay people come and spoil it. They come and nastify the place in the weekends. But I'm just telling Lonavala because it's a thick forest, isn't it? So a forest is in the mode of goodness. So a devotee may like, oh, such a beautiful atmosphere, birds are chirping, you know, the trees are full of fruits and flowers, and sitting under a tree chanting the Lord's names, one may be, and some waterfalls is flowing. The devotee feels very joyful. Because people in mode of goodness, that area is mode of goodness, so one will feel a peace of mind and easy focus on the Lord. But other times, devotee may be sitting in a railway station, and then they will make an announcement, "Ye Dadar station na hai," you know, make announcement, isn't it? Making big announcement and, you know, it's like a fish market, people making noise, people getting into train, getting out of the train, and people selling different things, making sounds, all kinds of things, people walking, going to and fro, like so many announcements and everything. And devotee is in his own world chanting. So wherever we are, whether we are in mode of goodness place or mode of passion place, wherever we are, a devotee should learn to remain detached, like a drop of water in a lotus leaf, and absorb oneself in the Lord. So we are sadhana bhaktas, vaidhi bhaktas. By doing vaidhi bhakti and aspiring to achieve this status of ananya bhakta, certainly we will achieve one day. This status can be achieved. Lord does not speak of unachievable status. He does not speak of that. Every devotee can come to this platform where one will want to meet Krishna face to face very soon. And one will, like he says here, one who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day. So one can become such a ananya bhakta. And then Prabhupada concludes, the Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable conditioned life. So the Lord does not allow the devotee to fall down to animal species. The Lord gives him protection. Even if a devotee gets swayed away by Maya, Lord again pulls him back to his own feet, remembering that this devotee has done some devotional service to me before. So he again takes him back to his feet. So that's why it is said, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He gives protection for that bhakti that the devotee has practiced. Hare Krishna.